Before we get started with this episode of Heart Convictions, hosted by Nina, my name is Brad, and I'm a part of the Hopecast Network, and I also host a show you may enjoy. If you love Heart Convictions, you're going to love Your Weekly Calling. Every Monday, it's a 5 to 8 minute devotional just for you. We love our listeners here at Hopecast, and what better way to start your week out than listening to God's Word on your way to work, working out, or just sitting at home. So make sure you like and subscribe to Your Weekly Calling after you listen to Heart Convictions, hosted by Nina on the Hopecast Network.
Hey, everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network. And if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Welcome back to the Heart Conviction Podcast, because it's not a sad cast. So come on in, we're going to have a blast and take a seat and let the show begin.
Wow, I'm on Diet Coke this afternoon. So welcome to the second episode of the Heart Conviction Podcast. So happy to have you here. Last week, we just did like a little introduction. And this week, I'm going to go ahead and indulge in my entry and beginning on reality TV. People always ask me, how did they find you? How did that start? Did you apply? Did they reach out to you? Where did this come from? So I'm going to give you the story on reality TV. This episode is going to be lighthearted, fun, pop culture, goofy reality TV. So welcome. So reality TV was always a little bit after me. I'm a fan of reality TV. I do not watch a lot of movies at all. I think I've seen The Little Mermaid and Mean Girls, and that's it. Those are the only movies I've ever seen in my whole life. Just kidding. Just kidding. I did also see, what was the End Time movie when we were kids? I forget. With like Kirk Cameron. What was that called? Wait, let's ask ChatGPT. Ask ChatGPT, what was that movie with Kirk Cameron about the end times? It's going to tell us. What was it called? I know you guys are screaming.
The movie you're thinking of is likely Left Behind.
Left Behind.
The movie released in 2000. It
stars obviously. And then I saw that, right? Because I was raised in youth group. Just kidding. Just kidding. I know you were all like, it's Left Behind. I've seen more movies than that, but I don't really watch movies. I really don't. I watch documentaries, so I don't know if that counts as a movie. I do watch those. But if I got a little bit of time to watch something, I'm watching reality TV, period. That's what's happening 9 out of 10 times. If I'm not watching that, I might be watching The Office, maybe old reruns of I Love Lucy. That's what's being watched. The trashier, the better for me. The more stupid, the more likelihood I will binge it. And I think people are hilarious. I was at the dollar store today and the lady working the cash register was wearing her dollar store green uniform shirt, right? And then she dyed her hair dollar store green to match it. I'm into that. I took a video of her, talked to her, want the look, like inspired me. I got influenced by dollar store green hair. I'm into that. Okay. I want that. So the funnier, the goofier, the better. I've always loved reality TV, even since the beginning. Even like I used to watch like the Osbournes, and my favorites of all time are like Teen Mom. Okay. Like we're learning. That's educational. Okay. I like Sister Wives. Fight me on that. probably my favorite show. I'm into some of the housewife stuff. I know that they're like very controversial and in a very, very, very Christian way. Okay. That's what me and my friends say. If we're going to say something that could potentially look non-Christian, we'll say in a Christian way, and then we'll say something like mean. But in a Christian way, I'll even indulge. Don't hate me. Don't delete me. Don't cancel me. Don't be mad at me. Don't judge me. I'll even watch like Jersey Shore. Okay, moving on. I love reality TV. Really spent a lot of time trying to convince myself it was all pure, real, and true. I still believe it is for the most part, but boy, am I hip to the editing game now, and we'll talk about that in time too. Always loved reality TV. Always spent my indulgence time on that. Love Honey Boo Boo. Love Honey Boo Boo. You can't tell that pig what to do. She's like, glitzy. Everybody knows you can paint. Me and my friend quote that every time we talk. Love that. Love all that. Always love reality TV. And even love Dog the Bounty Hunter. And wildly accurate to what the game is like. Now, once I became one, it was hard to watch it because it was like, ooh, it made me think of my day. But I love all that. And there's other ones, right? Like if it's stupid, I'm going to watch Toddlers and Tiaras. We should do a whole episode just on like what's your worst favorite reality show. Love the Chrisleys, all of it. So I must have put my, whatever you want to call it, aspirations somewhere in the world, because for a long time, once reality TV became so popular, people were saying to me, Nina, you should be on reality TV and you're kind of unhinged and you're embarrassing and whatever. You should be on reality TV. I'm like, okay. I mean, fine. You're right. It'd probably go all right. And then all of a sudden, it was like something shifted in the hemisphere and feelers got out there. And I would say for about 5 or 6 years, I was being pursued by multiple production companies for multiple projects. That included Naked and Afraid, Wife Swap, another, like a Naked and Dating. Like, I don't know why y'all want to see me naked so bad. I mean, I'm kind of cute, but golly, the Naked Dating Show. I don't know what that one is called. They made a hard bargain. It was like, oh no, you won't do that. Okay. Would you do it for this? Truth be told, if Christians weren't so easily offended by a nude body, I would have considered it. That's the truth. And, I get it. Cause people are out here with that little old lusty spirit, honey. We'll lust over anything, right? Some people are like, you know, even the ankles are scary. You better cover that up. You know, I know y'all are out here struggling. Okay. So I get it. I wouldn't have done it for that reason either. I know you guys can't see flesh without just like freaking out, but I went to art school and you're dealing with like a lot of nudity there, you know, all in the name of art. But I'm not easily tempted and I'm not offended by nudity. But had that not been so controversial, I would not have been like too self-conscious, and they blur you out. I feel like enough, but I just, oh, there's my foster kitten getting in the screen. Oh, did you hear that squeak? If anybody needs a foster cat, send me a DM, okay? Your DM will become priority. But I would have done it. I just didn't want it to hurt my like pastoral reputation or whatever. So it's a no to that. And then I got a big proposition for my own show. And that was really exciting. We filmed a lot for it to create like a reel. They shop you. And it's kind of still very, very like, are you minimally chosen for that? It's still very rare that you'd get picked up. You want to get picked up. And it was a production company and I was in contact with them a lot. It was tons of filming, tons of hours. I was excited. I thought, okay. And they were filming me with my pets and I have a mini farm and in the bail bond industry and arresting people and then going to church. And it was good. I thought, well, you know, good shot here. You got great footage and nothing came of it. And it was a bummer. And then they even contacted me again after that to say, hey, we're still shopping this. You know, there's a company that's considering and they want to know more. So then I would film more interviews for them and we would do interviews and nothing happened of it. And that happens a lot. It happens with people who already have names. So left that. And then I got asked to be on, man, another show, and that fell through, and just constantly contacted by different producers, and just a season with years and years of being contacted. And I think my guess is that producer friends are friends with producer people. That's kind of how industries work. And I think they trade names and suggest people. I have no doubt that they're under the table sliding each other leads, and their casting producers are constantly looking for big personalities and people who are unhinged. And unfortunately, I'm probably both. And so I had a lot of interest, and then nothing was coming of it. And I thought, this is so weird. I keep getting all of these conversations with no completion. And then I was asked to be on 60 Days in 2020. So now it's 2025. So that probably, I think it would have been season 7. Interview process went great. They were really excited. It was moving forward very quickly. And they said, okay, like we're going to send you a contract. We want you to do this. So I was preparing in 2020 for this. Well, then, as we know, the COVID demonic monster, monstrosity, psycho situation fell upon us all. And you remember how weird that navigation time was in the beginning of a COVID. It was like, you know, this is going to be 2 weeks. We just need 2 weeks with masks and it's all going to be fine and we're going to move on. And as we all know, that's not how it went. So they said, wait, hold off. We're going to wait and see how this goes. And what does COVID look like in jail? That's actually very fascinating. Those seasons, I had not watched them before I was on the show, but I've watched them now. And that is a hard ticket to deal with under those circumstances for the workers, for the facility, for the inmates, all of it. And they said to me, they called me finally after months of waiting, and they said, well, it looks like this COVID thing is not going away. We are going to move forward with production. However, we are only going to cast people who have formerly been incarcerated because we want them to at least have an idea of what they're going into so that the chances of them kind of giving them content, I would assume, is better. Understandably, I said, okay. I was bummed. I was ready. I was like, really trying to get in jail mentality. And at that time, dropping people off at the jail and leaving, being like, wow, I could be in a jail soon. Disappointed. Very shortly after that, got a contact that reached out to me and said, hey, we want to interview you. We are doing a remote reality show. And it's with Ice-T, like not in the Bev, but in the wrapper. And me and my husband got cast for that. So if you want to dig deep in the reality TV world, I think it's on YouTube. You can look up The Mediator season 1. I don't know what episode it is, but it's called Pigs in a Blanket. And remotely, me and my husband did. It was sort of like a like a pseudo court setup. And Ice-T is like in replacement of the judge. He's the mediator. And it's funny. It's goofy. And it was fun. And we recorded it mid-COVID, and it was funny. It was great. And I thought, well, maybe all that, all these years of talking to producers and filming for that. So that's fun. That's a fun little dig if you want to go deep sea diving for that. It's funny. And I did that and got contacted again after that to do something else. Now, let me tell you what. One episode, we're going to expose the people, the production that ran The Mediator, because you want to talk about corruption and not following through. They didn't follow up on our end of the contract. That's some tea. Willing to talk about it. I'm still in the midst of pursuing compensation. Okay. I don't know who needs to hear that, but we are. And anyway, so after that, got contacted by somebody else. Nothing came of that. And then I was on a really big assignment for work, and I was working out of Charleston, South Carolina. Anybody from good old Charleston? Let me tell you what, right now, side note, rabbit trail, if you were looking for an all-American, off-the-chart, incredible, all-encompassing, just anything you could ever hope for in life city, Charleston, South Carolina. Beautiful beaches, mid-size country, city, good restaurants, good people, beautiful, warm, go. Took a job there for years. And I was there and I remember I took a nap And it was like a mid-afternoon and I had had some things shift and I was trying to plan out kind of what was next and coordinating that. And I took a nap and I was like, okay, I'm just like gonna have like a little retreat, laid in bed, and my phone was ringing and it said 60 day in producer. I had had her saved from prior, from years ago. Hadn't heard from him in years. And I thought, well, look, look-see here. Answered it, you know, hello. She's like, Nina, you remember me? Sure do. She said, well, we're now casting for season 9. And I kind of thought I was sort of out of there thinking, even though I do know you stay in people's databases because I do seem to hear from the same people over and over again. I just got asked actually from the people that did the mediator if I wanted to be on Cheaters with me. I was like, no, ma'am. No, you do not. Now, did I call a couple other people and ask if they wanted to be on Cheaters? Yes, I did. But we can't be on that. And way to really destroy my pastoral career, right? But she goes, well, you know, we're casting for season 9. And she goes, I have been waiting for a non-COVID season. Thought that was surprising. So they did 2 COVID seasons. I guess 7 and 8 were COVID seasons. And I felt like so much time had passed. Like, surely we were out of that. But they seemed to put them out every 2 years. So that would kind of make sense. And we want to talk to you again about it. And I'm like, wow, okay. That same week, I get another offer for a different reality show. Again, right, all these like kind of flippant offers in and out. And even I've gotten offers since, and I'm like, I can't even take them all that serious because they rarely become of anything. And got another offer too. They wanted me to be on like a body cam show where you body cam, you submit like your body cam stuff. I think it was of women in unconventional women jobs. I kind of think that was the theme. And so that happened that week too. So I had 2 offers in the same week. And I remember praying and I was like, Lord, it is no question to me what's probably going to happen next because I'm at a turn of events and looking for new work contracts. And this is what's happening. And I was filming all day for about a week for both shows and setting up. You know, they do a lot of stuff remote in the beginning just to kind of even get you through to the next round of people who pick or whatever. So I'm like setting up a whole like studio in my little cottage house and I have like a ring light and cameras and things holding it and like a nice background. And I'm like, you know, they'll mail you a microphone often to talk into whatever so they can have good sound bits. And so I'm recording all these things and it was just like a weird week, maybe even 2 weeks. And things were actually progressing with both. Now, what's hard is they'll ask you too, are you pursuing any other reality TV right now? And I'm like, well, you know, kind of, but you don't want to say yeah, because also nothing ever seems to fall through. And the 60 days in stuff was just, it was happening. And at this point, I know all these producers, we've talked so many times, and it was just progressing really quickly. And she was like, Nina, I want you to start preparing. I could potentially be buying you plane tickets here really soon. And that was the first time I thought, you know what? I think this is going to happen. I wasn't even holding her all that serious beforehand. And you're not allowed to tell anybody. So that's hard and messy. So like even, you know, they ask you who you are going to tell. And, you know, you can tell a few people. And even those people I could talk to about it. I'm like, I kind of need to prepare for this. But also I probably shouldn't because the rug will get ripped out from under you. Just this weird time of like, what do I do? And so I'm starting to like make arrangements. And at that time I had a place in Charleston and Dallas. And I'm kind of trying to plan that out and make arrangements for my pets. You know, I don't want to put them all on my husband while I'm gone and he works a lot. And it was just this weird season. Simultaneously, the other show is saying, listen, we want more footage of you. Can you give us footage of this? And we're going to come film this and we want to send people out to you. And it was this strange period of time for me where I was like, do I tell each other that each other is they're filming because it's going to start to overlap and I need to start preparing. But then I didn't want to miss one if one like quit on me. It was just a weird time. Not to mention I had some other things in the works too. It was just like chaos, but fine. And the 60 day in people were like, okay, we're back at the contract stage. And here's the thing about reality TV. And I've heard this from other reality participants also. It's this like long drug out process, and they consider a lot of people at once. They interview them, and then those rounds of interviews go to somebody else, and then those people want to interview you, and then those interviews go to somebody else, and then they make these reels of you, these like pitch reels, and those get presented to people, and it's a lot. And I got through all that, and they're like, yep, greenlit. They love you. They want, the network loves you. They want you. A&E has to sign off on things, and then they run this background check on you. It's just a big process, and it takes a long time. There's not a lot of certainty, tons of uncertainties at that, and you're kind of on their schedule. They're waiting for cues from other people and thumbs up and green lights, and they don't give you a ton of information, and so you do it all. So it takes a long time, even to the point where they'll say to you, hey, you might not hear from us for a few weeks. We're waiting to get approval from this department. And you don't hear from them, and then you think, well, I guess it didn't get approved. It's long. But then the second you're in and the second you sign that contract, well, then they're counting dollars, right? Now everybody's getting paid. Producers are getting paid. They're probably, you know, paying, I don't know, cameramen at that point. And then it's like, go, go, go. I kind of made that up. I don't know, but I'm assuming they're putting money into place and now everything's costing money. And you kind of imagine TV as being like, you know, big budgets, big dollars, like what's the big deal? When in all actuality, they're always kind of counting budgets, and they're mindful. They're mindful what they spend their money on. So then it was like, go, 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 go. And she's like, okay, great. We would like you here in a week. And I'm like, you know, we're not talking like a week trip. We're not filming for 2 weeks. Like, you're going to be gone potentially, hopefully, if you make it 60 days plus. And in my case, 60 days plus. So that's hard. And I'm trying to get all my affairs in order. I quickly hired somebody to like run extra parts of my work stuff and manage stuff for me. And it was like fast. And I was in South Carolina, and I said to them, you have got to give me time to get from South Carolina to Texas so I can get my South Carolina stuff in order. I can get my Texas stuff in order. And like, you know, get my husband in order. I don't know. I gotta do something. And they were like, I mean, we'll give you like 2 or 3 more days if you need it, and that's it. So all in all, I had about exactly 2 weeks to do it. Really crazy couple days. If you get stressed out, and I don't, I'm not a stressed out person, but if you get stressed out, I remember my friend Olivia Angel saying to me, I'll remember this rest of my life. She was like, okay, what can I do to help? And I'm like, like nothing. It's all stuff I have to do. And she was like, no, I'm helping you. I like, so excited for me, just so sweet. And she was like, I'm booking flights for you. I'm scheduling these flights for you to like get back to Texas. You know, just arrange stuff for me. Those kind of people who stepped in last minute. My friend Spencer stepped up hardcore, did stuff for me. My friend Andrew, those friends, like, thank you over and over and over again, because while it was a good thing, I was like melting a little bit, and I'll forever be thankful for that. So get ready to leave. And they don't even text you your information for your flight until I think it was like midnight the night before. So they have your flight ready, and they did that because they were trying to keep information as discreet as possible. And they did it because they didn't want you to know what you were flying into, and they didn't want you to have a concept of it. And they want no information leaked at all whatsoever. They're protecting it as much as they can. And while they have to give you information, they also know that like it's easy for stuff to leak or to tell, or for, you know, telephone to happen. Like, you tell somebody, they tell somebody, they tell somebody. And so then went and sat and waited to find out where I was going to go. And I was like, not to mention, do you have to get your personal life in order? But I don't, you know, you saw it on the show. Okay, we're going to be on national TV. Am I a little vain? Sure. Vain enough, right? But I didn't want to look like crazy on TV. And it's already in jail. I'm already not going to be not only like nothing, you know, you would hope if you were going to be on TV for a whole season, you'd have maybe something semi lined up as far as like maybe like hair, makeup, wardrobe, just out of hopes, right? You would hope in theory, like if you're going to be on a talk show or something, not to mention no supplies, not to mention no hair tools in jail. Like, that's scary. So I was like, getting my eyebrows tinted, getting my roots done, got my Botox freshened up in a Christian way, just doing it all. And I was like, that's a lot to prep and getting to order. And it was just chaos. And then I remember I got to the airport and it was just this 2 weeks of like, what in the world? And I sat on the airplane and I was going to Salt Lake City and I was relieved that it was Salt Lake. I was like, if I could have picked, I mean this, if I could have picked where I was going, that's where it would have been. I mean, what would you have picked? Of all the 50 states, and you know you're going to a jail in those 50 states, what state would you have picked in? I'm going to ask that on my Instagram. I'm going to even take a note and remind myself to do it. And I just sat on the plane and I was like, I can't believe this was happening. And I think I just cried out of like relief and stress being gone and being like, okay, interesting. Huh. Good. We're good. We're here. We're done. All my stuff's in order. I still had some work I had to do that I had to work on while I was there. But I was like, all in all, we got it done. We did it. And it was just a whirlwind. It was crazy. They had originally, very, very originally, when they reached out to me, like round one, like 2020, it was an Instagram message. And how funny is that? And I get asked that a lot too. You know, how'd they find you? How'd they reach out to you? I should have touched on that too. I guess. So I, as a bondsman in Ohio, TikTok and all that, it was not too big yet because that there would have been some appeal there, right? To be a female bondsman, you know, skip tracer, fugitive recovery agent, whatever. There would have been some appeal there. And I like TikTok. I have a feeling I probably would have documented that more, but I didn't. And I didn't have that. I also am easily, I have some grievances towards a lot of bondsmen's online personas. And so I just get like a little icked out about that. And so I didn't post a ton, not to mention part of what made me successful in like whatever you want to call it, bounty hunting, skip tracing area, was that people didn't recognize me. So I was kind of also being like a little bit careful to not have too big of online presence in that department, because I was sort of trying to have it both like advertise, but protect the fact that I had that going for me in that trade. So I didn't post a ton. And so I had posted just this like one little blurb really showing like my work partner. And then I had did some interviews for the news in against for bail bond reform, because at the time they were trying to reform bail bonds in Ohio. And listen, we can talk about that on here for sure. That'll be a controversial episode. But I did some interviews and that kind of just surfaced a lot. It was like a little bit funny. And so it had gotten a good amount of views. And that was where they had found me. And they messaged me back in 2020, even maybe 19. And they were like, hey, we are looking for people who have some kind of association with jail in one way or another. Saw your post. Really nice. Gave me a ton of compliments because they want you to be intrigued. And, you know, you're this and you're this and you're exactly what we're looking for. We would love to get to know you more. And that was where it started. It's funny. They even have like a first round of producers. So there's like, and I'm probably sort of wrong in this, but this is the way it kind of looked to me. They have like casting producers who scout out people, and that's really their only job. And the casting producers, the people who find the people that are candidates even, are very different than the show producers. Now, that might be wrong, but that's kind of how it's utilized in that. But then there was even like a lower level of that kind of, and just people who are kind of fishing for anybody. I think they probably bring in all kinds of people and they kind of dump it in front of that first round of casting producers. And then they cherry pick from there and then give it to, I don't know, whoever makes the next round of decisions. So you talk to a ton of people. And then once you get on set, everyone's a producer. Every single person, I'm a producer. Oh, I'm a producer. Oh, I'm a head producer. Oh, all right. Like, you're like, I got it. I know we get it. You're a producer, even though I don't know, like, what difference they would, and then the next one, that's a whole other thing I need to learn on. But that was how we initially got it. So I will talk you through the whole process of reality TV. And if, you know, you've ever thought to yourself, I want to be on reality TV, all you got to do is get one lead in there and stuff will come. If you got the personality for it, if you got something that kind of makes you stand apart, a little bit of edge or a little unhinged, you got a real good chance at it. And it's not as hard as I would have thought, because once the door was open, that was it. So we will then talk again. I'm going to have Corey on the show, and we're going to talk about what the first couple days of filming were like, what it was like to come in Salt Lake City. He's got a whole different perspective and a take on it. He's really funny. If you know Corey from the show, he's going to be on here. We'll talk about the whole next process of the show in a couple episodes. When we were originally deciding on this podcast, we were tossing around names, right? And something I wanted to do, but it felt like it was like just isolating this topic, is we wanted to call it the Better Person Project. I wanted to call it that because I really believe that you never cap off at being like the best person you're supposed to be. I think you need to continually work for it and fight for it and try and strive. And we should constantly be kind of mastering these tiers of what it means to be a good person, right? There's like different levels of it. And I think we should strive to get to the place where we're serving a certain demographic or our calling and really have a passion that involves humanity. And that includes ourselves. Like, we're human, right? We fall in that category. I identify as human. And I would love to have done that for the podcast, but I didn't want to just solidify it to that. So what we're going to start doing is having certain segments through this, and you can follow along too. And we're going to call it the Better Person segment. And it's my call to you to self-reflect and think about what can I do to kind of level up? Imagine like a video game. I want to level up to the next level of being a good person. Maybe that even means hitting a level where you're like better at saying sorry or better at caring for whatever is specific to you. But it all very much has to start with how good you are to yourself, because you are your first responsibility. You are accountable for you. You are your first person. And I am going to ask us in the next couple episodes to come to just start thinking about, what does it look like to be a better person? How good are you to yourself? Where's your self-care at? Where's your health at? Fitness even. I think fitness is really oversaturated in online media, and we can go in 100 different directions with a bazillion other opinions. I just had a training session, a complimentary one, a couple weeks ago, and loved it. He was great. And I thought, okay, I can do this. I've had a trainer before. And he was like, yeah, my sessions are $170. And I'm like, $170? Like, what is this? What is this field? You know, that's crazy. And I just had a massage today, which I really believe in that too, and in the lieu of self-care, by an AI robot. Guess what? Price? Great. And it was pretty good. It was pretty good. So I'm like, can I get an AI cheaper trainer? That would be great. And I'm continually trying to do better in those areas, especially as you get older. You have to. But people who don't take care of themselves do not often make good friends. They think they struggle in parenting, not good spouses, and it shows in your work. You have to take care of yourself. And when people don't take the time to really feed and fill their cup, they don't have it to pour into other people. And so I have a guest coming on this week. We're going to film this week, and she's talking about her weight loss journey that she's on right now and how important that is to her. And so if you would like to, in your heart, submit to our Better Person segment of the podcast, give yourself a little look-see. Look at yourself and think about self-care. And we're going to have an episode about that too soon. And are you lacking in it? Do you feel good about yourself? You feel good about your clothes, the way you look? Are you keeping up on stuff that we have to do? I know it's another to-do list and another task. I know that. But are you maintaining? And I think it's important. Big picture, I think it's important. And if not only, also for the other reason that we naturally compare ourselves continuously. I don't care who you are. there might be like a 5% population who doesn't compare themselves to anybody, but we do. It's very human nature. And I have found that people who do not make decisions for their body and the way they take care of themselves and the way they look will, and to do it out of a good place, they will often struggle with jealousy and secret jealousy, jealousy of the heart, subliminal jealousy, which is even more dangerous than blatant jealousy. So that has to get worked on also. And I think it's in how much time you take to give to yourself. I think it's if you are personalizing the things that you need for yourself to be happy. I have found that I have a mental inventory of things that if I'm draining low, this is what I can do that will really boost me back up and make me feel energized and good and loved and self-cared. And I want to encourage you to do that too, because I think in the big picture, it makes us a better operator, a better manager of our lives and our bodies and other people. And so I can't get on here and tell you to give to other people, even though I believe in that. I think you should give till you run out. But I can't do that and be feeding that information to people who aren't even good at taking care of themselves. So start thinking in that direction. We're going to have more on that. I'm going to do a whole episode on what self-care looks like for me and balancing that between being indulgent. We are a very indulgent society, and I am constantly kind of reeling that in also. I mean, you know, I worked in fashion, so sometimes I'll even think to myself, like, have I bordered on greed of what I've bought? It's a slippery slope. We're going to talk about that too. So in your heart, I would like for you to commit to our Better Person Project. If I have ever met somebody who has said that they have mastered being human, I would be severely alarmed. Okay. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Heart Conviction Podcast. As a new podcast, if you are enjoying this, would you please send this episode to somebody? You can hit the 3-dot button in the corner and say share episode and put it into a text message. If you would just shoot that over to somebody and say, hey, give us a listen. I know this girl, or you might find this interesting. Or do you remember her from this? Just, would you just shoot it for me? It really helps the episode and it would mean a lot to me. Thank you so much. I hope you guys have a good week, and follow me on all socials and let me know what you think and what you want to talk about. And if you have any questions about the show, I'm also doing lots of question bubbles on Instagram, Nina Palmer, Texas, and you can answer those questions and then we'll talk about it on here. Love you. Have a good week and we'll talk soon and see you next week on Mondays for the Heart Conviction Podcast. Bye, friends. We'll be right back.